Hi, you're listening to another sermon from Deep Creek Anglican Church.
It is indeed the Word of God. Let me remind you this morning of a simple truth, a truth that we actually need to hear over and over again. And we see it today, clearly in today's psalm. The psalm that in one sense, it's the John 3:16 of the Old Testament. It's a psalm that many of us know well at the back of our hands. Sometimes though, we can read it and we can miss the depths of its power and of its goodness. For Psalm 23 is about the Lord. The one we worship this morning as we gather now together. And this psalm speaks of the all-sufficient God. And the simple truth that stands out in this psalm is this: God is always with us. Our friends, he's right here with us now, today. His glorious face gazes upon a church that mourns, and his spirit knocks at the door of grieving hearts. And friends, this morning we go to him again. We go to the shepherd. We go to the shepherd through the scriptures, searching for the green pastures, searching for the quiet waters, the still waters for our souls. And so we open the book of the all-sufficient God right in the center again, in the Psalms. And so, like we have in previous weeks, we open our hearts this morning. And as we do it, we center them on the one who is completely sustaining, the one who is always with us. And I'm going to give us a minute silence now as we look to the shepherd and we reflect on the Word of God. And a minute now to open your hearts, whether they are heavy with grief, like I know there are many here today, that's the case, or whether they're joyful and they're in green pastures, and that's okay as well. That's a good thing. And I'll give you a minute now to talk back to God in your own heart this morning as we come to the shepherd. Let's do that now. Heavenly Father, great shepherd, we ask now that you will come to us as you always do. And Lord, that this morning we will see how you are all sustaining. In your name, amen. Friends, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. The Lord is my shepherd. It's such rich imagery. I suppose that's one of the reasons why people love it so much and find such comfort in its words. For a shepherd's job is to provide and to protect his flock. And the psalmist is telling us this morning that that is what God is like. He is all-sufficient, and he provides and he protects. He gives and he guards. How does God do this? How does God be completely sufficient to us today? How can God be all-sufficient as we as a church rightly mourn the death of a much loved leader and member of Deep Creek Anglican Church? While David writes, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want." A more literal translation may be something like this: "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not lack anything because of who he is. I may desire many things. Followers of the shepherd may desire many things. That's okay. But the promise of the shepherd is that you will not lack anything. You will lack nothing when you follow the shepherd. Friends, that is what God is saying to us this morning. We shall lack nothing. Our desire this morning may be for many things, but the shepherd knows what we need. The shepherd knows what is best. The shepherd this morning knows what is best for his flock at Deep Creek. The shepherd knows what is best for the McArdle family. The shepherd never, never leaves his flock. Today, as we gather here, let the word of the shepherd soak in. The all-sufficient shepherd makes us lie down in green pastures. The all-sufficient shepherd leads us beside quiet waters. The all-sufficient shepherd restores our souls, and the all-sufficient shepherd guides in paths of righteousness. And when, friends, not if, but when we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we know that the all-sufficient shepherd is with us. His rod and his staff, they comfort us. Friends, this morning, many of us want to feel God, don't we? We want to feel him in a way that will bring special comfort. For the truth is, many of us walk through that dark valley today. Its cliffs are steep, and it's hard to see. And like sheep in a valley of darkness, we gather closely together. We gather closely together in our seats here, hoping to feel the staff of the shepherd upon our hearts, hoping that the shepherd can see what we can't, and he will again lead us to soft green pastures and quiet, still waters. But whether the valley is dark and long, and whether it lasts one day or whether it lasts 50 years, the shepherd never leaves. I want us just for a minute to look closely at the language of this psalm, for it is stunning and it is beautiful, and we can miss it. Look closely with me. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Just trouble flicking that back. Why does he switch? If you've got your Bibles in front of you, that it's good, because this is playing up on me. If we could just go back one slide, that'd be great. Thank you. Why does David switch from he, you see how he says he the whole way through those first three verses, to you in verse 4? Why doesn't David just go on and say, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, he is with me, his rod and his staff, they comfort me? I think the switch is on because he's a personal God. The switch happens right as he enters the valley of death. And friends, this seems to be a universal truth for people who follow the shepherd. When the deep pain of life hits, when we're in the deep valley, when the valley's cliffs are cold and they're sharp and you can't see out of them. The sad, dark times of life, they make us hunger more for the shepherd. We hunger today for the all-sufficient God. We want him close. We want to know him deeply. See, friends, we are prone to talk about God when we're in the green pastures. But when we enter the valley, the ravine, the valley of the shadow of death, well, we're prone to talk back to him. And we call out to God. We want the shepherd. We yearn for the touch of his staff on our broken hearts. I remember going through a tough time in my own life. And I remember saying to my friend Dave, it's through these awful times, Dave, that I learn to trust God most. It's through the dark times, Dave, that I grow close to God and learn to trust him. We can all relate to this, can't we? We can all relate to it. And friends, there's a deep truth in this thought. However, this morning I find myself asking this question. Why can't I learn how frail I am and how all-sufficient God is before I enter the valley? Friends, some of us are in pastures, and that's good. That's good to be in the pastures. You've got permission to be in the pastures. But what do we learn when we're in there? What do we learn when things are good? We learn to be thankful. But friends, there is danger in both the green pastures and the valley. In the valley, we grope in the dark, longing for the staff of the shepherd. And the danger is we can think that he's not all sufficient. And we can think that he's not leading us. And we can think that he's not protecting and he's not guiding us. And we begin to fear. But David does not. Verse 4. I will fear no evil. Friends, there's different theories on the context of this passage of when it was written. Was David a shepherd when he wrote this, a little shepherd boy? I actually don't think that's the case. I think he wrote this when he was king. And he looked back and he remembered the days of the green pastures and the still waters. And he's writing it at a time when he's in battle. And maybe tomorrow will be his last. As he looks through the valley across to the other fire of the enemy, knowing that he will take them on the next morning. It's not like he's pumping his chest. It's not like the ego's out of control. Oh no, it's far from it. He does not fear because he knows. He knows that the all-sufficient God is with him. And friends, that shepherd is with us this morning. In this valley that many of us cannot see out of, the shepherd, God himself, today at Deep Creek is here, and he is all-sufficient. Some of us are in green pastures. Life's good. I said that. That's fine. But beware, the danger is just as real. So, because when life is easy, when things are going our way, we naturally lean on our own strength. When we're in the green pastures, we can become obsessed by the grass and forget the shepherd. Your whole life might be like that. Can you see the picture? When life is good, the sheep are at play. They're walking around and eating grass and things are good. And the shepherd may be hundreds of meters away, but he casts his eye across his flock as they eat the green grass and drink from the still waters. However, when the sheep are in the valley of death, they come together closely. And the presence of the all-sufficient shepherd looms large over, around, and through the flock. And this morning, we come close together. We come close together at Deep Creek. Like sheep, we come together as the flock under the gaze of the shepherd. And he sees us, and he knows us, and he knows our pain. And so now again, let's do a minute of silence. Whether you're in the green pastures, or whether you're in the valley, whether you need to be thankful to God, or whether you need to talk back to him and ask him to lead you again. So let's do some time now with the shepherd, talking and asking. And so, Lord, fill us again as we continue on now, looking at your word. May your staff touch on our hearts in your name. Amen. Friends, I want to finish by looking at these last few verses. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely, goodness and love will follow me all my days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The imagery moves from the shepherd, from the sheep, and it goes to God who spreads a table, a feast for David. So right in the midst of battle, right in the presence of his enemies, God sets a table for him. The banquet, my friends, is God. Can you imagine God spreading a table for you this morning? God spreads his table in some surprising places, and we can experience them if our eyes are open to them. He spreads his table in some amazing places. Let me read from this book, which is titled Talking Back to God, which is where Rod got the thought to name this series, Talking Back to God, which I believe now, in retrospect, it's always easy, that God gave him those words and gave him these psalms for us, for he knows us. He's our shepherd. A powerful example of this truth occurred in the life of Viktor Frankl during World War II. Frankl was put in a Nazi concentration camp with fellow Jews. They worked long days on meagre, thin soup. It could not even be called eating or nourishment. Early one winter morning, Frankl and his fellow prisoners were marched off for another long day of hard labour. Many were sick. Most had lost loved ones in the death in the camp, and everything they owned had been taken away from them. And that day, they had staggered back to the dormitories at dusk. And as they sprawled on the narrow bunks, exhausted, a friend burst through the door, shouting for them to come outside. They dragged themselves out of the door to be greeted by an extravagant sunset. The grey metallic clouds had broken open, and a riot of colour splashed across the sky and reflected in the pools of water around the concrete courtyard. That bed-raggled, broken little group of men stood there in awe, staring at the miracle of the sunset, and their hearts were lifted by that simple gift. The sunset was to them a table spread in the presence of their enemies. The bursting colours in the sky reminded them of God's loving, sovereign presence in a world where hate and wrong seemed to prevail. And if we pay attention, we may still find God spreading surprise banquet tables in the midst of our darkest times. The sunset for these people was God setting a table right in the presence of their enemies. And friends, is God setting tables for you right now in the passing of Cheryl McArdle? Friends, we are a church in mourning. And we loved her, didn't we? We loved her as she sat down the front here with Rod each morning. And we still do. But we are not a church without hope. We are not a church without hope. For Jesus says this, I am the good shepherd. Jesus is there again, always right, always having the words, always there. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd loved Cheryl McArdle. Actually, he loves her so much that he laid down his life for her. He laid his life down for us so we don't die. The shepherd not only provides, but he protects. And he loves his sheep. And he loves us this morning. Jesus restores our souls. Jesus leads us in righteousness. He accompanies us in danger. And he spreads his holy table before us in the presence of sin and in the presence of death. He sets his holy table. Have you seen the table? Have you seen the table this morning? When you shook hands with friends who you've worshipped here for many years, did you see the table being set? What about when your little boy or girl smiled at you this morning? Did you see the table being set? Friends, over the next few weeks, keep your eye out for the table being set for you each day. God setting up tables for you all over the place. We are a church in mourning, but we are not without hope because of Him, the Good Shepherd, the one who spreads His table out for all time through His death and through His resurrection. The shepherd who Cheryl now knows more than we will ever know while we walk this earth. She sees his glorious face as he is. And he said, these are they who have come out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God, and they serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will spread out his tent over them, and never again will they hunger. Never again will they thirst. Never again will cancer take her body, for the sun will not beat upon them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb is at the center of the throne, and he will be their shepherd, and he will lead them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. The Lamb has become the shepherd, and he guides. And he guides all those who call him shepherd to living waters. Cheryl called him shepherd, and he has led her to living waters. Not dying waters, friends. Living waters. Cheryl is with the shepherd. And when Cheryl sat there under the teaching week in, week out of her husband who taught her and us about the glory of the shepherd, where the tears are no longer, where the wheelchairs are smashed, that's where she is. Friends, we can take heart. We can take hope from this. The shepherd's staff is tapping on our hearts this morning. The tables are being set by the shepherd now. And we are a church in mourning. But we are a church who is rock solid in the hope of the shepherd who gave life to Cheryl and gave life to us. And who has given us life here at Deep Creek this morning. The shepherd who died for Cheryl, who died for us here at Deep Creek, who now has Cheryl home, who will one day take each one of us home, who call him shepherd. Living waters, friends. The shepherd. He is the sufficient God. He is the shepherd who loves us and who taps on our hearts this morning. Look out for the tables being set. It's not without hope. He loves us. He died for us. And he defeated death. And he's coming back to take each one of us to be with him. Let me pray. Lord Shepherd, we thank you that you call your sheep by name. And Lord, even when we're in the valley of the shadow of death, we know that your staff is upon our hearts. Lord, we thank you for the life of Cheryl, and we pray now that table after table after table will be set up for the McArdle family. As you sit there as the king, and you let the sheep feast. So, Lord, we thank you for your love. We thank you that you're all sufficient and that you will never, ever leave us. So, in Jesus' name, we pray this. Amen.